This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We got a number of guests coming your way. Wes, that includes the tall Virginian from one of the all-time great layouts and backdrops. We'll see. I'm assuming right. that Dan is still with us from the shower curtain room up there in Virginia. Is that right? There he is. Oh, he's upgraded. Wait a minute. Now, they're shower curtains. We know they are. You can't pull us. Wait a minute. You've upgraded the facility. Well, you're going to give us a little backdrop on the what's going there? What do you got back there, man? What is all this?
Well, main thing is there's a picture of my grandkids. There's a Heck picture yeah. of my son and daughter-in-law. There's a 50-year-old picture of my wife and I. And then there's a picture of one of my sons playing basketball. And then over here, we have other pictures.
Wow.
Grandkids, daughter, son and his fiance, nice. Son playing basketball, son standing next to his Super Hornet. So, yeah, we're working a little bit on the backdrop.
Now, I will say one thing before Wes chimes in. You know, when you staple those pictures to the shower curtain, you can't take those back to Home Depot. Those are now sold, right? You understand how that works.
First of all, they're not shower curtains. Secondly, they're for and thirdly, they're attached with Velcro, so if I wanted to, I could take them back.
See, that's where that Virginia education comes in. You know, us Clemson guys, we didn't put a hammer and a nail and put a hole in that shower curtain. That would have been a disaster. That would have been sold as good.
Dan, I would like to say that from time to time on this show, Mark and I like to test the depth of the water with our ACC history with some folks, right? So we'll throw a name out there, you know, from the 70s or something like that, right? We'll just kind of see how deep the water is in the audience on any given day. But I'd like to start with you by saying Florida State is a long way away from the great Diego Romero at this point with their basketball program after last night. Wouldn't you like to say that?
Well, you know, you guys know that I have been on the Florida State bandwagon for years. I am not a recent convert.
True.
And what I'll tell you about that game tonight, when that Florida State avalanche starts rolling at you, it's very easy to get engulfed. And that's what happened to Virginia last night. I don't care who they're playing. When you play Florida State, sometimes you get the bear, and sometimes the bear gets you. And when Florida State, you know, with their size and their quickness and their length, when they make 13 threes, you may as well just – you could stay in Charlottesville and accomplish what you did last night if you're Virginia. So I don't really regard that as any sort of a judgment about Virginia. I'm just telling you that that's how good Florida State – can be. Are they that good every night? No, they're not. But when they are that good, my heavens, they are an impressive team.
Dan, what that game did last night was really confirm the last time we had you on, you said, hey, listen, I've been telling you every time I have more confidence in Florida State than any team in the league. No disrespect to everybody else, but Florida State's the guys. And last night, they kind of proved that point that when they give you the A effort, they're the best team in the league, period.
I don't think there's any question about that. And I think that they exposed some holes that Virginia has. You know, I think it's great that Sam Hauser and Murphy and Jay Huff, that they can go outside and they can shoot threes. That's wonderful. But if those threes aren't going, then Virginia really has nothing else. They don't drive the ball to the basket. Jay Huff, if he's not making threes, and he wasn't last night, he's not really the kind of physical presence that can go down inside and get you 20 points with his back to the basket. You know, when they played Georgia Tech and they won the game, Sam Hauser was guarded the whole game by Jose Alvarado and, you know, was never able to, like, just beat up Alvarado down on the inside. Jose Alvarado is 6 feet tall and weighs 170 pounds. And so Tony Bennett said about his team after they lost to Virginia Tech that they were a little finessy. And, that's a very interesting word, but I think that he's absolutely right. His team is not a bunch of physical bruisers, and when they run into some physical bruisers, I think that can create problems for them.
All right, we're getting to an interesting point in the season, though, where these two teams play. If we're lucky, we get to see him again in Greensboro, and then if we're luckier, we get to see him again somewhere else down the road. But, Dan, from this perspective, Virginia Tech, if it works out right from the timing, plays in Tallahassee on Saturday. Virginia goes to Duke. Interesting pivots for both teams in some respect, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. You know, Virginia Tech, of course, is an entirely different kind of team. They do have physical guys. And so I think that'll just be a very entertaining game. I would not want to be playing Florida State in Tallahassee at the moment. I simply would not. Those guys take great pride in that winning streak that they have. And then Virginia, that thing with Duke, it'll be really interesting to see how Duke responds to losing Jalen Johnson. Sometimes teams respond very well to something like that. Sometimes they don't respond so well. So it's very, very interesting. And Duke now, you know, they can get up and get in you. They can go out there and they can defend that three. And so I think Virginia is going to have to find a little more physicality, or they could have a problem with Duke as well.
Dan, I'll be honest with you. After that woodshed last night, I wouldn't want to play Virginia next. I don't care who you are. I think Tony Bennett will take that tape and feed on it, don't you, this week? That'll be one of those, hey, guys, you know what? We're 11-1. Life was good. Just shut North Carolina down. Everybody feeling good about themselves. And guess what? We got it handed to us. Great programs get a beat down like that. They normally respond instantly. I suspect Virginia will.
Well, I think that's a very good point, Mark. And you're probably right about that. Tony Bennett did not look happy last night.
No.
And so I think that message is going to get communicated to his players. And I think even though Tony Bennett is such a gentleman, I think that he can make himself understood anytime he wants to.
All right, Dan. Jim Christian was dismissed yesterday by Boston College. Mark said this earlier, and I don't disagree with him. I think the timing on this is awkward and balky, and you could have waited, you know, till the end of the regular season. We all anticipated it was going to happen anyway, but to have it happen right now just seems a little unique given the landscape we're playing this in.
It does seem unique, and I'm very sorry that that happened. I know that this is a business that's totally results-based, and Jim Christian, as good a coach as I think he is, and certainly a very nice man, they just did not have the results. And I will say that, you know, Wes, and you know this because you and I have both been to Boston College many times, they just simply don't have the facilities that other people do. And it's hard to recruit at Boston College against people who do have the facilities. And so I think it's a very difficult situation. And I don't know what the reasoning was behind getting rid of Jim Christian now. I know that he probably didn't help himself when he told everybody that the administration told him he had to play with only four scholarship guys in the game that eventually got postponed because Florida State was doing contact tracing. So I don't think that he helped himself there. And I don't understand the timing at all. And I just think it's very odd. You know, you don't hurt anything by keeping him till the end of the year. But this is, I don't know what happened, and I just regret it. I really like Jim Christian. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good coach. I think it was just a bad situation.
100% agree. Jalen Johnson, I know you touched on it briefly regarding Duke's situation. Coming off the bench the last couple games, only played 8 minutes against NC State. He's now moved on to the NBA. Coach K has lived in the one-and-done world. He's had some pretty good success. You can go check out a couple banners if you're in the mood. Your take on Johnson's decision to leave when he decided to, quote-unquote, opt out?
You know, that's one of those things. Mark, you're right. Coach K has lived in the one-and-done world. He's dominated the one-and-done world. But, you know, the one-and-done world has moved into a different phase now. You know, guys – and college football players do it all the time. You know, they opt out so they can get ready for the draft. And so this is like a different thing in college basketball. I think it had more to do than anything else with possibly Jalen Johnson's injury. You know, I'm not sure that he ever recovered from it. And, you know, let's face it, Jalen Johnson did not go to Duke to get a degree from Duke. He went to play basketball at Duke so he could showcase himself for the NBA. And that's not a criticism. That is the way the world works now, particularly the one-and-done world. And if this injury is such that he needs time to rehab it, Everybody's saying, you know, Duke's not going to go to the NCAA tournament, and I don't know whether they will or they won't, but the consensus of opinion is that they won't. So here, you know, he's not going to get a chance to showcase himself, possibly, he thinks, in the NCAA tournament. So it's just a different phase of the one-and-done world, and really it's not a surprise. This is what kids do now. And again, that's not a criticism. You know, it's just a fact.
Dan, it also brings me back to a couple of years ago when you and I sat courtside in Charlotte and we watched Zion Williamson come back on the floor after the foot injury, you know? And we watched Zion Williamson play in the ACC tournament and actually put on a show. Mark was there. Zion Williamson put on a show in the ACC tournament. I mean, we got a chance to see a guy go after an injury and come back at full throttle. And I, you know, different strokes for different folks. I get that. But it also shows there's the different, the individual decision is kind of what's at point here, I guess.
Yeah, it really is, Wes. And I think the point you made about Zion Williamson, he felt like he had recovered from the injury. And I'm sure glad he did, because that was actually the first time that year that I saw him in person. And you recall what I said to you. I turned after the game and I said to you, whatever hype this guy has, it's not enough. And so it was extremely entertaining for all of us that he was able to do that. But I think the difference there is he had recovered from the injury. And, you know, it's, again, it's an individual decision. You don't know what's going on in his family. You don't know what's going on with the people around Jalen Johnson. You don't know what's going on with his injury situation. But I don't feel like that it says anything bad at all about the kid. This is his decision based on his life. And, you know, Mike Krzyzewski said he supports it. And so we just move on from there. It's interesting. Duke has six regular season games left, and they have some opportunities, and we'll see whether or not they can take advantage of them without one of their best players.
Dan, you're reading right off my script. I think that's exactly what I said last hour. He's made a decision. The coach has given the blessing. Down the road you go. And that is the world that we now currently live in. When it comes to student athletes, especially the one and done world of college basketball. And, you know, you got a guy like Scotty Barnes. A lot of folks believe going to be a big time player in the NBA. He's coming off the bench. I don't see him worrying about, hey, I don't want to play anymore. Everybody's different. You know, what works for Scotty Barnes doesn't necessarily work for Jalen Johnson. And you deal with it one way or the other. We're going through a crazy pandemic. And again, like you said, who knows what's going on behind closed doors as far as the family's concerned and needs and the foot and everything else. I have no earthly idea, but it appears that everybody's checked off on it and Duke's going to have to live without them. And to be honest with you, I thought they played pretty good without them for the most part against NC State on Saturday. It's the first time I've seen them really defend somebody in a long time.
Well, they did play well without him. And let's face it, they have played a lot without him this year. You know, he's been hurt and he's shown some flashes, but he has not been consistently West of, and I don't want to, you know, it's too much of a burden to put on anybody, but you raised the Zion Williamson thing. Zion Williamson was impressive every time out. And the thing with Jalen Johnson, because of the pandemic, because of the injury, he never really got a chance to get rolling. And as a result, you know, we don't know what we saw, what we didn't see. And the craziest part of the world, Mark, is here's a guy who barely played in college basketball, but everybody, you know, our own ESPN like mock draft analysts say he's going to be the number six overall pick in the draft.
Preach.
And talk about a crazy world. Now, that's a crazy world.
Well, that's what I said last hour. I said, to me, it's a bigger indictment on the NBA that believes that he's the sixth pick. And again, I'm rooting for him. I hope he has an incredible career and plays forever and makes $1 trillion and wins championships. But based on the eye test, and I'm not a scout, but based on the eye test, you're telling me that's the sixth best pick in the NBA draft? That's almost laughable. But it's not my problem. I don't deal with it. I don't buy NBA tickets. Not worried about it.
No, not you don't own an NBA team. You're not having to pay guys that like that.
So. That's right. I don't even go watch the NBA team 3 miles from my house unless Western gets me courtside seats. I don't even watch them. So whatever makes you happy, man, go for it.
All right, Dan, my favorite story of the week is North Carolina on Twitter yesterday about 10:15, 10:30, asking for potential opponents. They wanted to play a game, and all of a sudden our friend Billy Cohen and Northeastern oblige. And at some point tomorrow, Carolina and Northeastern are going to play some game that's been put together in 48 hours. I thought that was fantastic.
Well, it is fantastic, and the great part about it is that they basically advertised for the game. They put together a game earlier in the season against North Carolina Central, a little faster than that, but they didn't advertise. Roy just called up Lavelle Moten and said, hey, do you want to play? And at that point, Lavelle's team had only played like one or two games, and they were desperate to have a game. So North Carolina, they just did it a little differently, but this is the second time this year that they've put together a non-conference game that quickly. And Wes, I think that illustrates one of the issues that we have. We're still having a lot of postponements. Of course, we're playing more games than postponed, but we're still having a lot of conference postponements. We're not going to – the games now that are postponed, they're not going to be made up. And I think North Carolina's action is an acknowledgement of that. They want to play.
By the way, one more –
you're right, or else they'd only have one game in 2 weeks. They would have played last Saturday. That'd be the only game in 2 weeks they'd play.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You look at the conference schedule, and I haven't done this morning, but I did it last week. You know, I know I'm a Virginia grad, so bear with me here with my math, but 15 teams are supposed to play 20 games apiece. That's 300 games. And the last time I looked at it, based on what was actually on the schedule, and some games have been postponed since then, based on what was actually on the schedule and what had already been played, conference teams are going to play a total of 258 games. And so now we've lost a couple of more. And that's so we're not going to get we're not going to get the full season in. Florida State won last night. They have two losses. Virginia has two losses. But Virginia has 11 wins because they've played more games. So it's really interesting how all this has worked out. And we knew it was going to be this way. And actually, the ACC, I think, has done well to get in as many games as they have. But North Carolina's desperate. They're looking for games. They need to play. And I just think that that's that story right there is a COVID story, Wes.
All right. Very good. Dan Bonner, he'll be with Mike Monaco tomorrow. NC State, Pittsburgh. It's game two of four right here on ACC Network. Thank you as well, sir. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, guys. I really enjoy it as always.
You bet. Dan Bonner. Stay tuned. More to come on the backside of this particular commercial break, Pack. True or false? Presented by?
Dish.
That's it. Stick around. Packer and Durham rolls on a Tuesday on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Many thanks to Dan Bonner who just joined us. We've got, I think we have our very first male student athlete in the world of tennis that's going to join us coming up this hour, Wes. I don't know if we've had another male tennis player join the show. This is show 322. I think that's going to – we're going to break that streak coming up later this hour.
Okay. Going to put some research on that?
I believe that is accurate. We've had a female tennis player, but not a male tennis player. Might be wrong about that, but I believe that's accurate.
Okay. Good. I'm sitting here doing math. I know you're worried.
Oh, that's – no wonder why your head hurts.
Yeah. I got some math going on here.
Yeah, you do that. Let's go to the Lumberjack, see what's going on. I guess we get a little true and false going on here. Is that what we're doing? There he is.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. There's you Macri. Know him by name. Josh Macri, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, and as Pac mentioned, it is time for true or false, which, of course, is presented by
Dish.
That's right. And let's get right to it, guys. Simple question to lead us off. True or false? We will see a Florida State and Virginia rematch in the ACC championship game in Greensboro.
Whoa.
I'm going to say false. Yeah, me too. I agree with that, Wes. False.
Yeah.
You know what my concern is?
Rarely does 1-2 happen. Go ahead.
You know what my concern is? It's not even the 1-2. Here's my concern. I'm concerned about who's going to Greensboro. That's my concern.
Okay. All right. Let me say this for starters. According to the handy-dandy tournament card that I have here, the top seed has been in the finals 47 times in ACC tournament history. But it's happened 7 of the last 10 years. Now, remember, last year's tournament does not count in this because we never got to that point. 9 of the last 13 years. But the top seed has only won the title 11 of the last 32. Here's the other one I'll give you. The top four seeds have only made the semifinals 17 times in the 67-year history of the ACC tournament. So compound that to tell you that getting 1 and 2 together doesn't happen very often. So,
Josh,
just thought I'd offer that to
Josh,
you.
Josh, let me translate what Wes just said in the last 2 minutes. False.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, guys, moving
go
on.
Go ahead.
As we've also chronicled today, Jim Christian let go by BC. Say all
sure.
that to say that BC's last 5 men's basketball coaches have averaged just under 8 years at the school. So, true or false, the Eagles' next permanent head coach will hold that position for at least 8 seasons.
True. True.
At least 8? No, false. False.
Well, do you
just
have
don't
a
believe. Just don't believe that. Right. I'm going to have to see this one. And I look, and Pat Kraft and the people around Pat Kraft are telling us. I mean, the folks I spoke to yesterday say that Boston College wants to be in the basketball business. Dan mentioned facilities. That is certainly at the list. That's on the list. But you're going to have to – this is a prove-it move. You're going to have to prove it. If you say you want to do this and you want to win and you're going to hire, material, a guy who has got some track to him, we're going to have to see it. And so I would say that I would say 8 is a bit of a stretch at this point. False.
I'm going to say true because the numbers are right there in front of you. The last 5 coaches have averaged 7.8 years. You're going to have an increase in facilities. Yeah. You're going to have to do that. And I think there's going to be a transition in ACC coaches when you start talking about Roy and Kay and Boeheim.
That's true.
And Leonard and Larrinaga. I mean, these are all guys in their 70s. I mean, the ACC landscape is going to change. I'm not running anybody out before anybody goes nuts with that statement. Hey, guys are 70, 75 right. years old. I mean, 8 years from now, they're 80-something. Life's going to change amongst power brokers in the league. So BC right now is at the very bottom. I think if they get a bright young coach, for argument's sake, and they upgrade facilities and they make a commitment to being in a business, I think that coach will stay there longer than 8 years. True.
All right, guys, next question. Friend of the show, Isaiah Wong, leads the ACC with a 9.7 point per game increase from last year to this year. So, simply put, true or false, Mr. Wong is the most improved player in the conference this season.
True.
Oh, let's think here.
I watched him the other night, and I believe he is. Now, you're going to get arguments of Quincy Guerrier at Syracuse, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Moses Wright of Georgia Tech certainly would fall in that category. But Isaiah Wong, right now, to me, for what he does for his team, and Pax talked about how competitive they are and they play hard and they don't give up and they've had every reason to give up, he brings it every night now. Every night he's there.
Yeah, and he has to, given the situation, because you can't have, Chris with the dish. You can't give me that line yet until Likes gets back there at Miami. But I'd say Moses Wright, though, Wes. Goodness gracious. I think it falls in the W category. I think it's A or B with those two. That's a good question, though. Excellent question by the Lumberjacks.
Couple more. Hopefully they're just as excellent. Coming up at noon today, the Georgia Tech women host Miami on ACC Network.
Right.
True or false, Yellow Jackets head coach Nell Fortner is the coach of the year in the ACC.
True.
Oh, yeah. True.
True.
True. No question. Year two, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I think she's done a phenomenal job there. And, again, there were some holdovers from the previous coaching administration. She's added to it. But Kubai, Lodomai Lotnin, and then you add like McQueen and others who have just gone in and supplemented what they've done. It's really impressive.
Yep. Despite last week was a tough week for the Jackets, and it dropped a couple. But sure, nevertheless,
absolutely,
she's done a great job, and she's a blast to be on.
Yep.
I mean, I can't wait for her to be back on the show. Always fun.
There you go.
Speaking of the Jackets, true or false, Coach Josh Pastner will break another face mask at some point this season.
False.
look at the graphic.
False. False. No, it's not in the budget. It's simply not in the budget.
What?
So no.
Bam.
No.
Oh, that's so good.
Nope. False.
And then he puts it back on. There we go. Let's strap this back on. Can we? By the way, story, you ready?
Yep.
Real quick. Pastner was offered. The Georgia Tech basketball trainer, longtime trainer Richard Stewart, had a backup face shield. Offered it to Pastner. Nah, I'm just going to wear this one.
I said to you yesterday, there had to be a backup. On Georia Tech.
There
you
was.
I
Richard's
told
on
you
it.
There had to be one. Said there had
Richard's
to be a
backup. Richard's on it. I asked the coach, did you have a backup face shield? Yes. I shunned it. I told Richard I did not want it. I put the other one on.
So good. Still needs a
we
sponsor.
We need the video of the old one. We need the video. Oh, it needs a sponsor big time. There are lots of marketing dollars out there for Georgia Tech, especially in the tournament. Imagine you go to Greensboro, slide that on, and wear it in the tournament.
You know what Josh needs to do?
Would it have to have New York Life across it? Would it have to have New York Life?
Josh needs
Geico, Bojangles.
Josh needs to sign one of those shields and send it to the basement.
Oh.
Right. We need a Josh Pastner signed face shield, and we'll hang it right here. Right, we'll put it right over the top of Dave Doran's pancake syrup. That's what we need. It's like we need to get the word out to Pastner. He needs to sign it, and whatever he wants to write on there, doesn't matter. And we'll hang that sucker right here. Right there. Right?
It's kind of like our COVID memento. Is that what we're going
to
call it?
He doesn't have to. If he wants to smash one and sign it, he can do that too. It doesn't matter. We'll take anything he wants. I'll get him the Glob Championship sign, and we'll make a trade.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Since I'm closer, if he signs it, I'll go down and pick it up. I'll bring it here.
There you go. Whatever you want.
Put it on the shelf next to the brick from Apex High School, the old high school I went to. They gave me a piece of a brick from when they tore it down.
That's a good one.
What do you mean that's great? It is great.
That's a great one.
Fighting Cougars.
Yeah.
All right. We need a face shield signed. That would be awesome. That's why you're in marketing.
Why
you're in marketing.
By the way, just got a note. Right. Just got a note from Chuck Walsh.
Yeah.
DPI is for the birds. Chuck Walsh. Preach
there you
it,
go, Chuck.
He was out. You see his
Chuck,
skill
by the way,
last
hey.
Night? Last night, you see Chuck
I did.
Running for the ball last night? He was great.
Chuck chasing a loose ball in the tunnel. Almost chased it out there to where they parked the buses.
Yeah.
We have to call that video up from last night.
Yeah.
See if we can get Chuck Walsh. Get that Chuck Walsh in action.
Excellent.
Nancy's probably glad he didn't strain something on the way to pick up the loose ball. All right. Take a break. Come back. Don't forget, ACC softball debuts this week on ACC Network. How about Thursday? You're going to get all three games of the ACC pod involving Florida State and Georgia Tech. Thursday morning, 11 a.m. and 1:30 are the estimated pitch times. Might have to knock a little frost off on Mewburn Field to get that one going before they step in the circle. And then again, Friday at 1. Thursday, 11 a.m. and 1:30. And then again on Friday at 1 right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Might be a little chilly in Midtown Atlanta for the start of ACC softball. When we come back, conference cuts and more. We'll hear from Clemson. We got Mike Bray Buick. We got Brad Brownell, Jeff Capel, and more coming up next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Marion Reeves was Clemson's first African-American football player. With freshmen not eligible to play in 1970, Reeves' first collegiate action came during his sophomore season when he came off the bench and recorded two interceptions to lead Clemson past rival South Carolina 17-7. Marion Reeves earned his degree from Clemson and later answered to a higher calling by becoming a pastor. Packer and Durham honor Marion Reeves and all the black athletes that paved the way in the ACC as we celebrate black history always here on ACC Network. Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. We've got Brian Cernok coming up from the University of North Carolina men's tennis program. That's coming up, though, in about 15 minutes or 10 minutes or so, give or take. But time for a little conference cut, Wes.
Going to start in Pittsburgh. Justin Champagny has seen his production dip ever so slightly over the last three games, down about 5 points and a couple of fewer rebounds. Jeff Capel talked about how his star needs to adjust to the added attention.
His whole world changed in a month. Even at the beginning of the year, he was having a really good year. But when he came back from the injury and he had those two games, and I don't know if it was because of who it was against, Syracuse and Duke, it changed everything for him. It changed because of the attention, because of the people pulling at him, all those things like that. That's different when you've never dealt with it. You know, it's not like he's had to deal with this since high school of being the guy, of being the one, you know, that's the hunted. And so it's very different. It's very different. And when you're not used to it, it happens and everyone wants it, but it can be really exhausting of all the different things that you have to deal with. And that's something that he's learning.
Good points. Real good points in the Pitt head coach.
Well, I know this much. I said this the other day. He needs to take more than six shots in the game. He is too good a player. He could very well be your ACC of the year for all we know. But only six shot attempts. I need at least double, if not more than that, from Justin Champagny every time they touch the ball and go out and play.
Yeah, right about that. NC State's fallen into the back half, back third, if you will, of the ACC standings. Kevin Keats knows that no matter where you are right now in the standings, there is a sense of desperation this time of year.
I think every team in this league is desperate now because, number one, you're trying to figure out if you can obviously get into the NCAA tournament. You're trying to figure out how well your team can play from one game to the other. In our case, you know, I'm looking for us just to play better. I think this time of year, Jonas, I think everybody is in some type of desperation and, you know, obviously finish out the season strong.
All right. Close the cuts here, Pack, with Brad Brownell of Clemson, who we found out right before we went off the air yesterday, the old 9:55, if you will, that the Tigers were going to be on pause for their game at Notre Dame tomorrow. And he talks about the frustration of being paused again.
Your guys' conditioning goes quicker than you think it does. Like if we pause even for two or three more days, we will have been off, you know, 4 out of 5 days. And if your kids are not doing anything, you know, it's going to affect them. You know, it's just you're not going to come back with the same juice and energy and legs. You're going to be tired. And not every kid's the same, but there are certain kids on your team that it affects a great deal.
Well, for Brad's sake, I hope part two of COVID is a better response than part one, because it took the Tigers about 2 weeks to find their sea legs, right? I mean, they really, really struggled after COVID part one, getting blown out by just seemingly everybody. They lost to Virginia by, what, 35, and Florida State jumped them, and Georgia Tech and everybody else and their brother. But hopefully they'll bounce back and be strong. But who knows how many games are going to get in moving forward.
Well, you know that tomorrow night at South Bend is on the brick, right? They are supposed to play at Pittsburgh and at Wake Forest in the two games after that. Clemson 7-5, tied for fifth with Carolina at this juncture, a game ahead of Syracuse in the win column. You hope it's not a long time for Clemson, because those are games that could very well foretell where they're headed down the road, not only into Greensboro, but also in postseason, right?
Well, I think they're in the NCAA tournament. I mean, they've got three quad one sure. wins. They've got double digits in terms of power five wins. They've beaten Alabama. They've beaten Florida State. I mean, I go through the whole list here. I think they are definitely a lock to be in. But these are kind of games.
But the seeding is the thing I'm talking about.
All right. I mean, if more games you win, the higher the seed you're going to be. But we talked about their schedule really being manageable in February. That was under the premise that you're going to play all the games. I mean, they did all their heavy lifting in December and January. Their reward getting through that was to be able to play games in which, quite frankly, they should be favored moving forward. They should be favored when you start talking about, you know, going to Wake Forest, going to Pittsburgh, having Miami and Pitt, I think, are the last two home games. You know, there's an opportunity for Clemson to go on quite a run. And you know, the game tomorrow I thought was a big loss for Notre Dame, because the Irish need quad one W's if they can get them. And they're not going to have that many scheduled. So they had a game scheduled tomorrow with Clemson that they're not going to get. So in some respects, Clemson gets a break from a rest perspective. Notre Dame needed the game. So that was tough. That was tough news for Mike Bray.
Clemson and Pittsburgh, by the way, is a Sunday night game scheduled here for ACC Network at 6 o'clock if it goes. The one tomorrow night, of course, is definitely off. And we'll wait and see what kind of word we get on that. And also, by the way, quite honestly, Virginia Tech, Florida State, which is noon Saturday here on ACC Network. So we'll keep all that in mind. All right, Pac says we got a debut. Men's tennis makes its appearance on this program. We're looking forward to visiting with Brian Cernok, who has a history of winning big matches in big moments for the Tar Heels of Coach Paul. We'll do all that when we come back and start the Power Hour. ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Gina Conti is going to join us in the Power Hour.
Oh, wow.
Looking forward to that.
I forgot about that. Gina Conti. Gina Conti makes her return, her triumphant return to the show.
Yeah. We now have a debut, though.
Boy, does she know what she caused.
Oh, she's great. We like her. But now we're going to have a debut, because men's tennis, we talked about North Carolina's men's indoor tennis team rocking and rolling, bringing home the belt. Ladies take care of business. Men take care of business. They're doing it. Chapel Hill. And making his debut this morning is Brian Cernok, who's done nothing but just clinchers, man. You need a game one for the championship. This is the dude right here. Brian, first of all, good morning. Yep. Appreciate you getting up with us.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations, man. Men, women. I mean, what's going on in Chapel Hill with tennis right now? You guys are rolling.
Yeah, it's obvious, it's fun having both teams get the title. Last year, we came up just short. So it was fun to get that redemption.
You won the two clinching singles matches. I know doubles is important to you as well, but to have both men and women win the indoor nationals, Brian, what's that say about not only Carolina, but the level of tennis you guys are playing right now before the spring ever really kicks in, I guess?
Yeah, obviously it's great, you know, starting off the season strong. I think it's just a good stepping stone heading into ACC play and obviously the NCAA tournament in May. I think we'll just try to ride with that momentum, both teams. So it's pretty exciting. I'm excited for the rest of the season.
Brian, coming up a bit short last year, that had to be chip on shoulder, right? I mean, that had to be one of the driving forces of unfinished business to go win the Natty.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely left a sour taste leaving Wisconsin last year. But I'm just really thankful that the seniors came back this year, just getting their fifth year in. And, you know, obviously the entire year we've been talking about, you know, doing it for the 5th years. You know, they wanted that national title. So I'm just really glad that we got it done.
Brian, last year's Nationals, that was kind of it, right? As I recall from a schedule, I mean, there were matches here or there, but that was kind of it for you guys, wasn't it?
Yeah. We played National indoors, and then we had maybe 2 or 3 other matches. We were actually in Miami getting ready to play University of Miami the next day when everything got shut down and we had to bus it home. And I just remember that night was, it was pretty brutal. You know, all the guys were crying and it just wasn't fun. So I'm just glad that we got basically the entire team back and had the freshmen come in this year. So it's awesome.
Brian, it's been interesting to talk to other student athletes in other sports in terms of the downtime. When everything hit, you know, in last March and everything shut down, figuring out a way to, number one, stay in shape. How do I play my sport? I would think with tennis, though, there may have been some advantages that, hey, you know what? You can go. There's some things you could work on. You know, you got another guy. Hey, let's go play. Another lady, whatever the case may be. Is tennis a little bit different during this pandemic as far as staying sharp, or is there still unbelievable challenges?
It's definitely a little bit different. Obviously, there's the tournament schedules very different with professional and collegiate. I know the ACC, we didn't play any matches in the fall season. I know some other conferences like the SEC, they were able to play some matches. So obviously, we didn't have those matches under our belt. But throughout quarantine, we were able to practice and train. So I think that definitely helped some, you know, coming into the season, but we just weren't really match ready. So I'm just glad we got a couple matches in before National indoors.
All right, Brian, I know you take great pride in playing doubles with William Blumberg as well. Take us through the success you guys have had and why have you been so successful at that particular area?
Yeah, obviously I love playing doubles with Will. He's an unbelievable player, even better leader on court and off the court. He just brings great energy, you know, so I kind of just feed off that. And honestly, the entire team does. You know, the guys that are playing on 2 and 3, they can hear us and we can hear them. And then the guys that are on the bench, you know, they're loud and it's fun.
What's more entertaining for you, singles or doubles?
I don't know. I think dubs is definitely more nerve-wracking, I would say. I don't know, just because that doubles point is so important, especially against all the top teams. But I don't know. I enjoy both, honestly. Like it's just fun being out there.
I got a quick question here. I've noticed that you just mentioned the indoors a year ago were at Wisconsin. This year at Illinois, I mean, they really want you to be indoors, don't you? I mean, they're going to send you to places where it's freezing. Right?
Yeah. We came out of the match last night. We probably left the center at 11 p.m. and there was just a huge snowstorm coming. So that was fun, actually.
I mean, you guys are indoors. I mean, I'd rather be in Illinois in Wisconsin. The worst thing would be to have an indoor tournament and you're in Hawaii or the Bahamas or South Florida. That would be what would stink when it's 85 degrees outside. I mean, put me in a blizzard, man. Put a roof over my head. We'll play tennis all night long, right? That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, for sure.
Forget that. By the way, my wife is a big tennis player, and she refuses to play with me, Brian, because being a former golfer, she's like, hey, come on, let's just knock it over the net. And I'm trying to hit, like, cut shots and spins, and she's like, hey, moron, would you just – you're not Federer. Just hit the ball over the net. So she threw me out. She just said, I can't deal with you. You don't have any concept of how to play the game. So with that said, who would you say you pattern your game after from a pro perspective?
Oh man, I honestly have no idea. Maybe it's somebody like Fernando Verdasco, Spanish player. He was top 10 in the world probably around 2009, 2010. I'd say I just have similar strokes to him maybe. I don't really know. I kind of just try to play my own game, my own style.
There you go.
You know,
all right.
Just trying to get the job done.
All right.
I want to ask this one thing real quick, Pac. Real quick. Do you really want to be the general manager of an NBA team, Brian? It says that on the bio page.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think I do. I think that would be a fun job to have. Yeah.
Could be an opportunity for you here in Charlotte.
So you love Hoot too, huh?
You know, the owner's a Carolina guy. That might work out for you.
Yeah, it might work out for you one day. You can come to the Hornets.
Yeah.
All right, last question real quick. What's the hardest class you've had at the University of North Carolina?
Oh, man. maybe Econ 101.
Oh,
jeez. A lot of Econ.
There it is. Yeah. Econ 101. Bread and butter, man. Just like a nice little slice down the line right there.
There you go.
And that's what that is. Well, congratulations, my man. To you and the ladies. Yeah,
thank you.
Taking care of business.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Brian Cernaca, Carolina. We look forward to following men's and women's tennis as the spring schedule gets cranked up. Good point, Pac. Why would you want to have the indoors in, like, Southern California?
Yeah, if it's 90 degrees outside.
Champaign,
you know,
Illinois, Madison, Wisconsin seem appropriate.
No question. But if we're going to play indoor tennis, I'll be in a snowstorm. I'll go indoors and play tennis all night long. No brainer. Piece of cake.
Not on your knee.
No, I can't now. I got two good knees now after the doctor put that needle in it yesterday. I'm rolling.
I feel like running down the street. Oh, boy.
I'm feeling it like Florida State basketball this morning. I am feeling it. Feeling good.
Okay. All right. I hear you. Coming up in the Power Hour, friend of the show, Gina Conti, will join us, and we'll recap a huge night, by the way, in the ACC. So looking forward to that, and we'll kind of also talk about some news of the day. But, boy, been a great show. Michael DeVoe of Georgia Tech, Brian Cernak of Carolina making our men's tennis debut, and Dan Bonner, of course, spending time with us. But we got plenty of news items and things like that to cover when we come up in this final hour. I'm glad to hear the knees better. I got to be honest, I'm concerned. I was concerned, genuinely concerned.
You were concerned.
About your knee.
I was concerned. The 2 hours of sleep I get at night were at zero because I just couldn't move. I was in so much pain. But the doc brought out a needle yesterday. I went for that, and he said, you're going to feel much better after this. And he was right. I feel really good. It's the best I've felt in, months. I've been in so much pain.
How long was the needle?
I'm ready to roll.
How long was that needle, by the way?
Long enough.
How long was that needle?
No, I didn't want to look.
Yeah, come on now. Come on.
I told him I don't want to look.
How about like that?
Nah, I don't want to look at it.
About like that?
Don't.
Huh?
I feel a thousand. I told you. I feel like Florida State basketball right now. I feel like I can go all night long, right? And it's just ready to roll. Ready to roll.
Power Hour is coming up. We'll recap the night in Tallahassee and more. Seminoles roll on the Wahoos, and Wake Forest guard Gina Conti fresh off a half-court shot on senior day, and more next.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.